Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya alal falah, hayya alal falah. As-salatu khayrun min an-naum. As-salatu khayrun من النوم. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help, to aid, to assist the believers to get off to a good start each morning during the blessed month of Ramadan. We thank you for joining us this morning, and we pray that the words of our speakers will be beneficial to you, and it will aid us all in our growth and development as believers in Allah. We were blessed to hear from our brother student minister Nuri Muhammad yesterday and his inspiring words about nursing the Quran. We thank Allah for his beautiful words with us yesterday. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today. And to take us further to our program this morning is our brother, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Brother Jamil.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine, my brother, fine.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum, dear beloved brothers and sisters, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. It's my pleasure to greet you once again. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Certainly on this 22nd day of the holy month of Ramadan in the year 1445, the Gregorian calendar, 2024, I'm honored and privileged and grateful to be here once again. I thank Allah for him bringing me back this morning to be with you once again. I'm certainly grateful to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his backing of this program, which is unique in all of the world of Islam. And it is progressive, it is groundbreaking, and it is a pioneering effort to bring together our people around the world by means of whatever technological advancement have been made and is available to us. So we thank you to the crew who puts together the Ummah Reflects. Of course, Dr. Nisa Islam, who put it together in the beginning, Brother Muthakar and Brother Shahid, Brother Nasser, Sister Majida, all of us who work on this, I'm very grateful. But this morning, I'm standing in the place usually occupied by Brother Abdul Akbar Muhammad. Minister Akbar, as many of you know, is a world traveler, a historian, a researcher, and he is called by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the recording angel. Because Brother Akbar has traveled with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan literally around the globe on numerous occasions, has been with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the dispensation and advancement of the cause of Islam since the 1960s. And so therefore we hear in Brother Akbar great, great credibility. I want to share with you this morning from my perch of very little credibility, but I share with you this morning from a very credible source. And that source reminds us that what we are doing is revolutionary. It's dynamite. It's something that is exposing the great, great opportunity for us. Well, I should say dynamic, you know, because everybody make mischief when you say the wrong words on here. Dynamic. But I'm reading to you this morning from a book. It's called Exposing the War Against Islam, an analysis that uncovers the causes, culprits, and conspiracies behind the orchestrated rise in Islamophobia. This is written by our brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad, and the foreword is by Dr. Wesley Muhammad. I turn to some part of this analysis that I share with you because it's powerful to understand how what we are doing is affecting the enemies of our rise. And what are they against when they become our enemies? Are they against us doing something to destabilize their society? No. Are they against us making civil unrest? No. Are they against us doing anything against the law? No. What they are against is us standing up with the knowledge of self to reclaim a position of dignity and honor in our own homes. They're standing up against us connecting with the reality of the true and living God and living out the will of that God in our lives for the benefit of ourselves and our progeny. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing if you're not a slave master. If you're a slave master and an oppressor and an enemy of what is right and good, you must do everything you can to stop that. So let's look into the pages of exposing the war against Islam to see what they are doing. Look at this text from page 77. The penetrating message of Islam and Black consciousness brought by the Nation of Islam caused the United States State Department to intensify their divisive tactics against the Muslims' worldwide appeal. The Not True Muslims disinformation campaign. For fear of the Nation of Islam's success, for fear that the Nation of Islam's success would summon international appeal, U.S. government agencies conspired against any budding relationships between the Black Muslims in America with the larger Islamic world. The U.S. State Department spread propaganda throughout the Muslim world, claiming that members of the Nation of Islam aren't true Muslims. I quote from their State Department instruction to 75 diplomatic posts in 1960. Africans who express particular interest in the Islamic movement among U.S. Negroes should be discreetly discouraged from making contact with either the United African Nationalist Movement or the Temple of Islam, parenthesis, Elijah Muhammad, close parenthesis. If asked, posts should point out that these organizations are, in fact, quote, pseudo-Muslim, close quote, rather than genuinely religious movements, and are just as racialist, sick, in their approach as some of the more extreme anti-Negro movements in the South. Now, as Brother Jamil talking, I guess it's all right to have a moderate anti-Negro movement in the South. The text continues. It is no coincidence that the aforementioned instructions were given months after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his then representative, Malcolm X, had made visits to Arabia and the Middle East in 1959, where they were gladly welcomed by Islamic leaders and states who were dumbfounded by the unparalleled success that the NOI was achieving in America, teaching Islam to Black people. Sadly, many countries in the East succumbed to America's propaganda instructions that sought to isolate the nation from the broader Muslim world. We conclude with the text saying this: how is it that a non-believing anti-Islamic government can give instructions to Islamic states regarding who is and who is not a Muslim? The fact that many contemporary Islamic-based countries have fallen under the influence of the West is clear proof that the Ummah, believing community, has been subdued by satanic forces and is in grave need of reform. Again, this is consistent with Prophet Muhammad's foreshadowing that the Ummah would deviate from its true path and that the light of Islam would rise in the West in the latter days. The Prophet, peace and prayers be upon him, also foresaw the footsteps of a once Black slave, Bilal, lead him into paradise when he told him, "For I heard your footsteps in front of me in paradise." The Prophet forewarned the fallen Arabized, Aryanized world of Islam that it will not recover from its deviant slump if it doesn't recognize the leadership of those strange Black Muslims in the Western Hemisphere as the source that will guide the Ummah back to the straight path. He prophesied of a new Islam that will come after the deviation of the Ummah, and that it will appear strange and unorthodox. When he proclaimed, Islam began as something strange and will revert to being strange as it began. So give glad tidings to the strangers. You, dear beloved brothers of the Ummah Reflects, you are like those strangers. You and I are like the people who have been thought of as unusual and strange in every regard. Yet it is we who bring vitality and life to the Islamic world, not because we refute, deny, reject, and turn down our beloved brothers and sisters. No, no, no. It is because we bring the spirit of vitality and life and energy and gratitude and love and brotherhood and family to the world of Islam. That is the contribution that you are making just by being with us on the Ummah Reflex, the Ramadan prayer line. This podcast is vitally important, and this morning's guest is important that we hear as well. Our guest today is from the Michigan area, the Great Lakes, if you will. He is Sheikh Kafani Ibrahim Hassan Sise. He's a khatib, an instructor, and a mentor at various masajid, including Flint, Ann Arbor, and Detroit, as well as Akron, Ohio. Would you welcome him to the Ummah Reflex? Now we hear from Sheikh Sise.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad al-Fatimini wa Ughlaq wa Qayatimini wa Sabuqa Nasir al-Haq wa Haq wa Hadi ala Suratuq al-Mustaqim wa ala Alihi al-Haq qadima min al-Arabin. Alhamdulillah, we have started the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan. We know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he singled out and showed us within these last 10, and particularly with the odd nights, that there is a night of power, a night of quwwah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah il aliyyil azim, that there is no power and no strength except by the will of Allah, or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know this quwwah, this power, and this night of power that we are searching for in these last 10 are something that we should search for and is a benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely in the world or in the dunya, just like in the dunya or before the advent of those who have accepted Islam, they used to thank God that it was Friday. And on that Friday night, they sought for all type of power and the fitness and the foolishness of this world, clubbing, doing whatever or whatever and whatnot. They sought for some type of power. And in this, they sought for some type of intoxication to get them away from the world. But the true intoxication and the true sufficiency for us for power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his worship. And this is why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us of this. And within those odd nights, we know, just like in Surah Al-Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in that night, تنزل الملائكة وروح فيها بإذن ربهم كل عمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. We know on that night, there's a تنزل, a نزل, an انزال, a state that comes down, or a state that comes over you, a reality that comes to you. And it came to صلى الله عليه وسلم. تنزل الملائكة وروح, the angels, and the روح القدس is the Jibril. Alayhi salam. Jibril came to unto sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tanazzal malaikatu ruhu fiha bi izni, by the permission of Allah, rabbihim kulluha salam hiya hatta al-maruf, because of that peace and that blessing. And we know that in the surah, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadri wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadri laylatil qadri khayrun min alf shahr. Now some of the fuqaha, or some of those who know the morphology of the Arabic language and things and such as that, when sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of looking at for in these 10 nights, he spoke of the odd nights, like last night was the 21st night, the 23rd, the 25th night, the 27th, or the 29th night of Ramadan. But when you look at this, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, wa shafi wal wajri, by the even and the odd. And so we look at this oddity and this link for ourselves in these nights. And it's funny, in this world, or in the dunya, if someone were in trade exchange, a Bitcoin, a thing, told you on such and such night at this time, it's the best time to trade and such, and you will get a great return, there are people who will follow them. They follow people like Elon Musk and whatever they want to say about money, or whatever they want to say concerning the world, or whatever they want to say concerning monetary gain. But this spiritual gain, the spiritual gain, again, we have to listen closely to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So within the surah, some of those who are into Arabic morphology and numerology, and the reality of it linking with each huruf, or each letter, having a number, they look at the surah and they say, "Inna anzalna fi laylatul qadri wa ma adraka laylatul qadri." When you go in, when it speaks of "Inna anzalna fi laylatul qadri wa ma adraka laylatul qadri," laylatul qadri qaydum min alfi shahr. Laylatul qadr, the name laylatul qadr itself is repeated 3 times. And if you were to count the lam, ya, lam, ta, marbuta, the alif, lam, qaf, dal, and ra of Laylatul Qadri, then it is 9 letters. And those 9 letters multiplied times the 3 times it's stated comes to 27. So this is why some people say the 27th night, but we should search for the reality of Allah in all of those 10 nights and actually within every night of our lives. And we know that this is better than 1,000 months, which is the like of 83 years or more or longer than our lifespan. Some people say, how could you look for something like this or such as that in the lifespan? And if you were to go out in the evening at night and you look within the sky, you would think that you're seeing planets and stars. But actually, you're seeing the emanation of something 50 million light years or so away. So if we could see time in a glance, then surely we can get blessings, not just by chance, but by worship in these last 10 nights. Now, we know that fasting during Ramadan, it increases our fitr. It increases us in a way. And the way in which it increases us, it helps the Muslim to develop self-control, discipline, and patience. And it gives us a time to increase ourselves in reflection on ourselves and to repent and seek forgiveness from Allah and to help to purify our souls. I'm thankful that I've been invited. I'm your dear brother, Kafani Ibrahim Hassan Sise, and I'm praying that we all search for the night of power and inshallah, all of us become knights of power. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear brother, Brother Sheikh Kafani. Thank you for your words with us this morning on the Nights of Power. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have the Umar Report by CNN's Clarissa Ward.
High in the hills of the occupied West Bank, a flag flies in the face of a Palestinian village. God is king, it says. Two young settlers guard this illegal outpost. Construction hasn't even begun, but we are not welcome.
So they're asking us to leave. They don't want to talk to us. They said they've been here for about 9 months.
Dotted across the landscape, more signs of the fight to assert Israeli control over Palestinian land. The Arabic names on signposts crudely erased. Under international law, the Beit Hagla settlement is illegal. But last February, the Israeli government officially recognized it along with 8 others, a move the U.S. strongly opposed. We're here because God promised us this land, Azriel Picard tells us. Now these settlers have set their sights on a new prize, one that seemed utterly impossible before October 7th. Returning to Gaza, they cheer. That is the goal of Zionist settler organization Nahala, one of more than a dozen groups now advocating for the reestablishment of Israeli settlements in Gaza. A recent promotional video even boasts that Gaza will become the next Riviera. Daniela Weiss is the godmother of the movement. She's already started recruiting from the 700,000-strong settler community of Israel.
We're just arriving now at a settlement in the occupied West Bank, and we're heading to a talk that Daniela Weiss is giving to a group of people who are potentially interested in resettling Gaza.
We are for the land of Israel and Ben Gavir, she says. About 20 people gather in the living room of a family home. Weiss knows that for many in this community, there is deep nostalgia for Gush Katif, a block of 21 Israeli settlements that were forcibly evacuated by the IDF in 2005 when Israel left the Gaza Strip. This is the vision of Gaza, she says. You see all the nucleus groups. A map has already been drawn up, with six groups laying claim to different parts of the enclave.
So they've just been handing out these little booklets that say, People of Israel, return home, and then underneath, a call to return to the settlements of Gaza.
One of the organizers tells the group they have a representative flying to Florida to raise money. Nachala gets support from a number of groups in the U.S., including AFSI, Americans for a Safe Israel, which co-sponsored a recent webinar on the return to Gush Katif, even as the Biden administration has cracked down on settlements in the West Bank.
There is a very strong support from very prominent, from very, I would say, wealthy people, wealthy Jews.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Can you name any names?
No, I cannot. No.
Back at her home in Kedumim settlement, Weiss tells us she's already enrolled 500 families.
I even have on my cell phone names of people who say, enlist me, enroll me, I want to join. I want to join the groups that are going to settle Gaza.
I have to ask you, though, because we're sitting here talking and we're listening
to
the call to
prayer. Yeah, I'm listening
to
it. I hope you are listening to
it. Which is a reminder, I think, of the people who live here, but also the people who live in Gaza. What happens to them in this vision of this new settlement with Jewish settlers even in Gaza City?
What I think about Gaza, the Arabs of Gaza lost the right to be in Gaza on the 7th of October. Yes, I do hear the mosque. I do hear the prayer. Things were different until the 7th of October. No Arab, I'm speaking about more than 2 million Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
They will not stay there. We, Jews, will be in Gaza.
That sounds like ethnic cleansing.
Okay. The Arabs want to annihilate the state of Israel. So you can call them monsters. You can call them cleansing of Jews. We are not doing to them. They are doing to us. I couldn't make it clearer when I said that myself, as a person who is preoccupied with settling the land, until the 7th of October, I didn't have plans of returning to Gaza. It's clear. I'm not interested in cleansing.
What is clear is that Weiss's views, traditionally seen as extreme in Israel, have become more popular since October 7th. In late January, jubilant crowds packed an auditorium in Jerusalem for the Victory of Israel conference, calling for the resettlement of Gaza. A poll that month from the Jewish People Policy Institute found that 26% of Israelis advocate the reconstruction of the Gush Katif settlements after the war is over. Among supporters of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing coalition government, that number jumps to 51%. Several ministers were present at the conference, including far-right Heritage Minister Amichai Eliyahu. In a rare interview with Western media, he tells us his political decisions are guided by the Torah.
Is there anything about Gush Katif in here?
Yes. Yes. Beberkat Amazon. Yes,
and that settlements in Gaza are needed to prevent another October 7th.
The language of the land says that wherever there is a Jewish settlement, there will be more security. Doesn't mean there will be absolute security, but there will be more security.
Why would you advocate for something that many would say is illegal, is immoral, is not supported by the majority of Israelis, and is also very harmful to Israel in terms of its international standing?
Why do you think it's immoral to take land from someone who wants to kill me? Why is it immoral to take my land, which my ancestors lived there, which I've even given up, to someone who slaughters, rapes, and murders me? What is more immoral than that?
Netanyahu has called resettling Gaza, quote, an unrealistic goal, and most Israelis agree. But that hasn't stopped scores of IDF soldiers fighting there from posting videos calling for a return to Gush Katif. For many supporters of the settler movement, what was once a distant fantasy is now a fervent dream. Clarissa Ward, CNN, The Occupied West Bank.
Wow, all praises are due to Allah. Thank you, Sister Clarissa Ward, for the Umar report. Man. Okay, we're going to have our brother Nasser, who will give us the fast fact of the day. Brother Nasser.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Our fast fact of the day is Allah is the one who always listens. As we embark on this blessed month of Ramadan, a profound truth washes over us. We are never alone. In the quiet moments of pre-dawn prayer, amidst the bustling energy of breaking fast, and throughout every challenge and triumph, Allah, the most glorious, most high, is with us. He is the ever-listening ear, the unfailing source of comfort and strength. Let us reflect on this beautiful reality and how it empowers us through Ramadan. Here are a couple of points. The whispers of the heart heard. Often our deepest anxieties and aspirations remain unspoken. Yet Allah hears the very whispers of our hearts. During Ramadan, pour your soul into your prayers and your supplications. Know that they are being heard by the one who has the power to grant them all. Next point, finding solace in du'as. Life can be overwhelming. When burdens weigh heavy, find solace in the power of du'a. Throughout this holy month, let your du'as be your constant companions. Talk to Allah about your fears, your hopes, your dreams, and your aspirations. He is the only one who can truly understand and answer. Seeking forgiveness and guidance. This is the next point. Ramadan is a time for reflection and repentance. When guilt or regret cloud your heart, remember that Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Seek His forgiveness sincerely, and He will pave the way for a fresh start. Ask Him for guidance, and He will illuminate your path. Next point. Moments of frustration and loneliness. Even amidst the blessings of Ramadan, there may be moments of frustration or loneliness. But remember, you are never alone. Allah is with you, a constant companion. Turn to Him in those moments and you will find the strength to persevere. Next point. The unyielding power of faith. As you strive to perfect your fast, your prayers, your charity, moments of doubt may creep in. But hold fast to your faith, for it is the anchor that keeps you grounded. Remember, Allah sees your efforts, no matter how small, no matter how big. Trust in His divine plan and know that He will reward your sincerity. He is the one who listens to every word that tumbles from our lips, every hidden yearning of our hearts. Next point. Allah hears the whispers of your soul. Imagine pouring out your deepest worries, your most ambitious dreams, to someone who understands without judgment. With Allah, that's the reality. There's no need to filter your thoughts or present a facade. He knows you better than you know yourself. In the quiet of your prayers, the vulnerability of your du'as, He listens. Find solace in this. You are heard. Allah can be a refuge in times of difficulty. Life throws curveballs. Sometimes we stumble and fall, burdened by doubt or overwhelmed by hardship. Don't let these moments push you away from Allah. Instead, turn to Him, pour your heart out, plead for your guidance, and know that He is listening. He offers refuge and strength in depths of despair. When life throws curveballs, turn to Allah. He may turn you into Barry Bonds. With Allah, we celebrate victories, big and small. We often underestimate the power of sharing our joys. During Ramadan, as you conquer challenges, resist the urge to diminish your accomplishments. Let gratitude overflow. Share your victories with loved ones. and whisper a heartfelt Alhamdulillah to the one who listened to your prayers and guided your steps. Finding direction through dua, there will be moments of uncertainty during Ramadan. When decisions seem daunting, don't hesitate to turn to Allah. Make dua for clarity, for wisdom, and to navigate the path ahead. As you consistently communicate with Him, listen for the subtle signs, the nudge in your heart, the quiet verses of the Quran that resonate with your situation. He guides those who seek His guidance. The everlasting conversation. Ramadan may come and go, but the connection with Allah should endure. Let the discipline and focus you cultivate in this holy month spill over into your everyday life. Maintain the habit of talking to Allah, of confiding in Him, of seeking His solace and guidance. Remember, He is the one who always listens. Through this Ramadan, let the knowledge that Allah, the Most Glorious, the Most High, is ever listening be your source of comfort and strength. Find solace in His presence. Pour your heart out in your prayers. And know that with faith and surrender, you can overcome any obstacle and any challenge. May this Ramadan be a journey of immense spiritual growth, filled with the tranquility and blessings that only come from communing with the all-hearing, all-knowing Allah. May Allah reward you. That is our fast fact of the day. Allah is the one who always listens. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Nasser. Thank you for the beautiful fast fact today. All right, my brothers and sisters, we are on day 22 of our reading. And our reading of the day starts with chapter 33, verse 31 through chapter 36, verse 21. Surah 33, ayat 31 through Surah 36, ayat 21. We will now ask our brother, Brother Shaheed, would he close us with prayer? Brother Shaheed.
As-salamu alaykum, Ramadan Mubarak, Al-Fatiha. Qul a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Say, I seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the dawn from the evil of that which He has created and from the evil of intense darkness when it comes and from the evil of those who cast evil suggestions and firm resolutions, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for your prayers with us this morning. Brothers and sisters, as we close, on behalf of our guest speaker, Sheikh Kafani Ibrahim Hassan Sise, and his family, thank you, Brother Sheikh Kafani, thank you for sharing your words with us on the Night of Power. Thank you for the last 10 days of Ramadan, and may Allah continue to bless you and your family and your community. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank you, dear Minister, over and over again. We can never thank you enough for all that you have done and are doing in spreading this word of Islam, you and your family. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank each and every one of you for all that you have done and are doing to aid and assist the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in spreading his word of Islam. We thank you. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, and Brother Shaheed, Let me leave you all as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim.
Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim.
Subhanallah,
wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.